avant-garde. Thank you all so much for joining me today. We continue now with music by Robert Moran. You were just listening to Tears into Dust, dating from 2004 by Robert Moran, as performed by the Phoenix Ensemble, conducted by Ramona Lundgren. Well, it is indeed my pleasure to welcome Robert Moran, who will be with me live until 1 p.m. Robert Moran has been my guest several times over the years. He is indeed one of America's great living composers and is just a wonderful man. He has written performance art spectaculars, as well as what I consider to be some of the most beautiful choral music of our time. Robert, welcome once again. You are looking wonderful.
Well, thank you so much. You're looking great, too.
I feel great.
Did you lose some weight?
Absolutely.
You really look great.
I lost weight, and I feel great, and I think, I cut back in several years ago on all that that soft drink stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's
which is, you know, I feel great, and we're going to have indeed fun for the next 3 hours. You are a real veteran of this program, and you were last here about 3.5 years ago.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah, on your big birthday.
No, I think I've been here since then, haven't I? I don't know.
Maybe
don't
not. Maybe you have. Maybe birthday. Maybe during our marathon, not our marathon, during the fun drive, I think.
Maybe so.
You were here once,
maybe so,
briefly.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, first of all, tell us about Alice.
You
just
come
well. I mean, on your trip. I mean, the clip I saw was wonderful, and the music was terrific.
Well, it all started about three, four years ago.
Yeah.
And Ashley Page, who originally was one of the dancers one of the principal dancers at Royal Ballet, had done my cryptograms there at the Royal Opera House. So then he moved over to Scottish Ballet and is the director of the dance company. This wonderful group. And so he had always wanted to commission a full-length ballet, full-length, 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I said, well, let me know what's cooking. And he said, well, how about Alice in Wonderland? And through the looking glass and a new arrangement of scenes and what have you. And I said, well, that sounds great. Let's have some more information.
Yeah.
And I said, but first of all, actually, I have to tell you, if it has anything to do with Disney, count me out, because this is not the way Alice goes. So we proceeded to design this new dance work, and we did endless amounts of, it was amazing. And we had a wonderful designer, Anthony McDonald, who's designed at the Met and what have you. And we did all this research on Alice and the background and the characters. And we found out, for example, I wanted to know why there's certain things that are slightly trippy in Alice in Wonderland. The whole thing is nuts, actually. And I found out that during the 1850s, 1860s, the only medication you could get at the pharmacy for any pain, for every pain, you know what it was? Opium.
Yeah, I had a feeling that
it was opium.
I thought so.
So you can only imagine.
But I was going to give you the honor of saying.
Everyone must have been totally wrecked, because at least they didn't have any pain.
Yeah.
So that sort of explains the hookah and the character sitting on the mushroom and all this type of thing. So we went from that direction. And decided that since Mr. Dodgson, Reverend Dodgson, who was Lewis Carroll, was also one of the first beginning experimental photographers, we would present, rather than Alice falling down a rabbit hole, she flies through the lens of a camera into this insanity. And, as I read Alice again and again, I realized that everyone in there is an adult. I mean, whether they're cards or whatever, Humpty Dumpty, whatever, they're all adults, and she's the only child. And everyone trashes her. Everyone says you don't understand anything, you're an idiot, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is really a study in child abuse, of verbal child abuse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And luckily, the little girl is very strong and gets through it, but the characters are fascinating. And it's a wonderful bit of material for dancers because there's so many characters. And they're so different.
Wonderful.
Now, we had Tweedledee and Tweedledum. I said, we've got to do something with them because this does, come on, what are we going to do? They ended up being two teenage Catholic schoolgirls pregnant. Humpty Dumpty was a drag queen. who had a gigantic egg on his head, fried egg on his head. And it went through all of this.
Yeah.
You know, the Cheshire Cat was a showgirl, and it was quite outrageous.
Quite a
packed the houses.
I'm sure
it's
it
still
did.
Still outdoors. There's a performance tonight.
I'm sure it did. And yeah. I'm sure it did. That sounds great. I mean, the music of yours, going back to that, on that clip, was absolutely delightful.
It's just a little. I forget even where it was because it doesn't fit. You know, it was a combo.
It was like
images.
A combo of different things. Yeah. But the music was delightful. Now, is this going to ever be recorded? Anything that people will be able to eventually buy?
Probably not. You know, that's the way it goes. The cost of unions and. But interesting with it, for example, there in Great Britain and in Scotland.
Yeah.
The entire tour, which after the 2 weeks in Glasgow, went up to the Edinburgh Festival for a week. Then it was in Cardiff last week. Mm-hmm. They travel with their own full orchestra.
Yeah.
Which we don't do here.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
No, we don't.
So, and it was a wonderful orchestra, not a ballet orchestra. It was a really solid young people.
How large of a group was it?
It was about 50.
They were 50.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, that's exciting news. Well, this, as we know, you've been here several times over the years. However, I'm sure, or why don't I say, I hope we have many new listeners since then. I hope, since you were here last. Because of that, Robert, why don't you just share a little bit about your early exposure to music and how you got into composition?
Well, that just takes you back to grade school.
Well, that would be fine by me.
Really?
Yeah, it's a
no,
good
you
look.
You don't want to hear
a,
that.
It's a good look back. This is the beginning of the Robert Moran story.
Oh, let's be a concert pianist, and then you say, "Oh, like I don't. Why am I sitting here at the piano ruining my back?"
Well, why don't we go then? If we could discuss your interest in composition. When did you get that, or contemporary music, or going into? A little later on, then.
It sort of crept in, you know, because first of all, you hear things that you that make no sense to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I met a wonderful piano teacher in Denver, and I said I want to play something that's, you know, John Thompson, Book One, forget it. So she said, well, how about
Book Two? No.
We moved on to Book Two. I said, no, this is junk. How about
what's this
Bela Bartok stuff? You know, Microcosm. What is that?
Yeah.
So that's what I played. I played all of that.
Okay.
So that type of stuff, and that was a new sound. You know, two sharps for one hand and three flats for the other. And
I like that.
And then I met a young woman who had been a student of Hindemith at Yale during the war when he was there in residence. And she told me all these wild stories, and I started playing the lutist and Alice and that.
Of Hindemith, yeah.
Yeah. And then one day, it must have been about when I was in the 10th grade, I turned on the radio Sunday. You remember the broadcast of the New York Philharmonic at that time? Do you remember that with Dimitri Mitropoulos? And oh, my God. And that day, they were doing a piece I never heard of, Arnold Schoenberg's Erwartung. And all of a sudden, out of the radio came Erwartung, and I had no idea what hit me. I mean, I was like, what in the world is this? It's just like a raving maniac.
Right.
Well, that's what it's all about. It's a raving maniac. Yeah. So then a year later, the LP was released.
Yeah.
And I said, I've got to get that because that made no sense to me at all. And I found the only way, being a typical Capricorn, is to sit down and play it until it makes sense. And it's a revelation. Erwartung was a revelation.
Mm-hmm. And how old were you again when you heard?
Probably about 15 or 16.
There you go.
So, yeah. So that's what sent me off when I said I have to get out of Denver. That's why I ran to Vienna, because of that so-called lingering whatever. I didn't know anything about my first teacher, Hans-Erik Apostel, who was a student of Webern.
Sure.
And as I was telling Judah, the first day that I walked into Mr. Apostel's apartment, there was the original manuscript of Wozzeck sitting on his grand piano. He was correcting, making a new edition for Universal Edition. So, trust me.
Wow,
but it was really crazy because I'd bring a score like the Webern Symphony. And I'd say, I can't figure out the row here. I can't figure. He says, well, let me see. He goes over to his desk and he gets out a small bundle of letters from Webern. And he opens it up and he says, oh, yes, here it is. And he says, copy this down. And here is a Webern's letters giving us the tone row. And I'm like, this is crazy. this is crazy.
Wow.
So then, you know, after that, it went into, I returned back home, and then I went back to Vienna, and there was the Stockhaus and the Boulez and other, and Ligeti and all these people. And so I said, gee, this is interesting. So I went through all the mathematical stuff.
Yeah.
And then by 1963, I said, then I studied with Darius Milhaud and Luciano Berio. And Berio said he'd conduct a work of mine if I'd write it. You know, because we were at Mills College, so we had all these speaking choruses and women singing groups and what have you.
Right.
He said, just put it all together, and I'll conduct it. So I went to him, and I said, yeah, I hear these sounds, but I can't get any of this out of any mathematically organized. This doesn't make any sense. And he said, don't do it. Look at proportional notation. So I looked at some scores, and it made complete sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that set me off totally away from 12-tone and all of that restricted stuff. So Berio conducted that piece, and then I moved to, worked with him for a few months in 63 at La Scala, and then I moved back to Vienna, and I met Hauben Stockermati and showed him my works, and he said, oh, graphic, they're graphic, and that whole summer, everything went graphic.
We're going to talk more about that later on, some of the graphic stuff, because there's a new recording of yours on the Innova label.
Yeah.
Of the graphic percussion
music.
Right. And we're going to be listening to one of the works from that later on in the program.
Oh, it's a wonderful ensemble.
Yeah, just super. And we're going to enjoy that later on. Well, you know, I mean, your music, Robert, has gone over the gamut. I mean, from these big spectaculars with these 1,000 performers and to some of the most gorgeous choral music of today.
Well, thank you.
It's gone all over. You know, you've been, your music has been very strongly inspired, a lot of it, by ballet and opera. You know, you've written a lot.
Well, I was an opera junkie as a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, my fairy tales were, you know, the tenor chasing the soprano around the table singing high C's.
Yeah.
And that seemed very reasonable to me.
Yeah.
And so that's why, I mean, I was going to the opera when I was 7 and 8 years old.
Well, that's why, sure.
Yeah.
Well, now let's go, speaking of opera, this was a good segue, wasn't it? Now we're going
to
go to an opera.
Well, I don't know what you're going to do next,
from the Towers of the Moon. We're going to listen to 4 excerpts written for string quartet from the opera. Why don't you tell us just a little bit about the opera and the...
The opera is based like that first piece. You just played Tears into Dust on an ancient Chinese legend and material. And there's that gorgeous story about the moon goddess who comes down to earth. She's being banished from the moon, and she's done something wrong with the gods. And she comes down and has to deal with humans. And she has no idea about these creatures and moods and colors and flavors and all this. And so it's an absolutely gorgeous, ancient, must be at least 2,500 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so Minnesota Opera commissioned a work for me. What do you want to do? I said, The Towers of the Moon. I made that title up. So then I was in London recording for Argo, the Open Veins and the Desert of Roses. Yeah. And Alexander Belinescu, the head of the quartet, he was playing Open Veins, said, well, we're doing it, you know, we're just about to record a new CD. I mean, would you write something for us? And I thought, what is it? When do you need it? And he said, oh, in a month.
Well, at least he didn't say tomorrow.
And the head of Decca was there, and he said, if you have it ready, we'll put it on, we'll record it. Well, I'm not going to say no to Decca. So I rushed back to, you know, locked myself in and said, I'm going to take 4 different sections from the opera and write it for string quartet. And that's how
What we're hearing.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to hear this now. We hear the Belinescu Quartet perform music from the Towers of the Moon by my guest, Robert Moran.
Thank you.
Music by my guest, Robert Moran. You were listening to music from the Towers of the Moon as performed by the Balanescu Quartet. And this is Classical Discoveries. I am your host, Marvin Rosen, and we'll be back with more music by my guest, Robert Moran, in just a moment.
If you dig jazz, you relate to the blues.
I'm drinking P&P, I'm smoking dynamite. I hope some schoolboy start a fight.
And rhythm and blues. Listen to Serenade to a Cuckoo with me, host Jerry Gordon, every Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Thank you.
WPRB wants you to know that every Saturday evening you can visit The Hub. The Hub is a Saturday evening gathering place for adults with developmental disabilities and or mental health challenges. The Hub meets every Saturday from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. in the lower level social hall of the United Methodist Church, 7 Van Dievender Avenue, right here in Princeton, New Jersey, at the corner of Nassau Street and Van Dievender Avenue. The Hub is non-sectarian and it is always free of charge. Drop in, bring a friend. For more info, call 609-924-0781 and leave a message. Again, that's 609-924-0781, or you can email them at info@princetonhub.net. This has been a community announcement from WPRB Princeton, where we continue with our music by Robert Moran. You were just listening to The Processional for Organ, dating from 2005 by my guest, Robert Moran. The composition was written to celebrate the wedding of Robert Rigel to Soo Jin Kim. Robert Rigel was the organist at Trinity Cathedral Wall Street in New York. Well, Robert, we are going to be listening to a selection from a work that has a connection to Trinity Cathedral. We are going to hear the In Paradisum section from the Trinity Requiem, written in observance of the 10th anniversary of 9/11. And I have to tell you, this music is just unbelievably gorgeous.
Thank you.
Sometimes you hear pieces of music that bring tears to your eyes as you're listening to them. I think this may have been the quickest tears to come to me in a piece of music, this section that we're going to hear now. What? Like in 3 seconds.
It was
just unbelievable what you've
First of all, this the organ piece we just heard was recorded by Robert Rigel at Trinity.
Right.
And so this is where my Trinity Requiem, was recorded last November so that it would be available on a CD next September. Mm. And Robert commissioned this for his children's chorus there at Trinity, one that he started himself. Kids from all over the five boroughs, no religious affiliation, just come and sing because they're not getting it in the schools, Marvin. It's really shocking.
No.
So they come there and they make all types of music and they have a wonderful time. And he said, would you write us a children, this requiem for the kids? And I said, well, I'd love to, but that's a little bit ghoulish. I mean, a children singing a requiem. And we thought about it. I said, there's no one's ever written one. A requiem sung by children, a children's chorus, right?
Right, no.
You name it.
No, I'm thinking.
There are requiems with big choruses and a children's chorus thrown in, what have you, but this is just for kids. So I said, I've got to think about this one. And I came to the conclusion that since it's going to be the 10th anniversary of 9/11, or at least the week, we're doing it about 3 or 4 days before. 9/11 comes on Sunday. We're doing it on the Wednesday before because, Trinity is right next to
The towers.
The towers and the security. The audience couldn't even get, the public couldn't even get into a concert, because the security is going to be so high. So anyway, I thought about this and I said, look, for so many decades I've heard, decades and decades, about children who have been devastated by the loss of parents, their families, from nightmarish situations. And then you can look back. You've got Kosovo, Haiti, Katrina, endless wars with just kids left with nothing. And I said, that's what we need to focus on with these children. And, when they're singing In Paradisum, it's angels sitting around on clouds. It's like the last movement of the Mahler Fourth. It's very childlike and very, very, very simple and direct, because that's kids, and that's what they were able to do, nothing complex. So he said, well, what do you want to do with instruments? And I said, what can we have? And he said, well, I'll give you some strings. And I said, all I need are four cellos, a harp, an organ. And so that's what we recorded. There are some handbells. They had a gorgeous set of handbells. And I said, well, what do you do with a PA Yesu or something like that? Let's throw those in. But it's still the cellos and the harp and organ.
Wow. So we're going to hear now.
And Robert is conducting.
Right.
And our friend Alexander Hermann, who has conducted so many of my pieces in Munich, and his wife will be conducting the European premiere in November of the Requiem there in Munich in two cathedrals.
Right. I'm very honored to be airing this. Is this the first time this piece is
is the first time it's ever been heard.
Well, it's a gorgeous work.
Thank you.
We're going to hear, I think we better hear it now before I start.
Because
I'm just thinking about my reaction when I heard this the very first time. Just overwhelming.
I don't know if we can release this information, but I think you were considering. We're
going to be talking about that.
Doing the full recording of the Requiem.
Something special for 9/11 on this program.
Yeah.
You were just listening to the In Paradisum section from the Trinity Requiem, written in observance of the 10th anniversary of 9/11. This is the first time anywhere in the world that this music has been heard. And Robert, thanks so much for letting me have the privilege of doing this right now.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Aren't those kids wonderful?
Unbelievable.
They just float the sound. And
that's what's so wonderful about some of those voices.
They're just so innocent.
And this features Robert Ridgell as the organist.
No, he is conducting.
He's the conductor.
He's commissioner.
See, didn't I tell you I wanted you to do that? Not me.
He is conducting, and Alexander Hermann from Munich flew in just to make the recording, and he plays organ. And then we had the cellist, and we'll give all that information later when it's out officially.
Yeah. Well, this is beautiful work.
Thank you.
Well, we are going to conclude the 10 o'clock hour of music with my guest Robert Moran by listening to the aria I Can Go to My Father. This is from the opera Desert of Roses. We hear soprano Jane West along with the piano circus band. Music, once again, by Robert Moran.
Thank you.
Music by my guest, Robert Moran. You were listening to the aria, I Can Go to My Father, from the opera Desert of Roses. You heard soprano Jane West along with the Piano Circus Band, an Innova compact disc. Here is the weather forecast for the Princeton area from the National Weather Service. Today, mostly sunny skies with a high near 70, east wind around 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 48, southeast wind around 5 miles per hour becoming calm. And tomorrow, Thursday, another gorgeous day, sunny with a high near 73. Northeast wind between 3 and 6 miles per hour. We currently have fair skies and 62 degrees at Mercer County Airport in Trenton.
I wonder how many of you remember the big folk music scare of the 60s. Boy, that was close. That garbage almost caught on. You know, the other day I was sitting around and thinking, I wonder what the first music ever written in this great country of ours was. And I was certainly hoping it wasn't that fiddle and banjo crap. Lord knows we've come further than that.
To hear how much further we've come, try Music You Can't Hear on the Radio. I'm John Weingart. I hope you can join me Sunday evenings from 7 until 10 for some of the best in fiddle and banjo crap and other great songs and tunes. That's this Sunday and every Sunday from 7 until 10 p.m. right here on WPRB in Princeton.
Welcome to another edition of Classical Discussion.